Hi, everybody. During the months of March and April, we are highlighting the work of Rios to Rivers in our community effort to showcase organizations who are working towards social justice, environmental action, and more inclusive public lands.
Rios to Rivers inspires the protection of rivers worldwide by investing in underserved and indigenous youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and support them in their development as the next generation of environmental stewards.
Founded in 2012, Rios to Rivers programs have connected 234 underserved and indigenous students from 20 endangered river basins in 7 countries. The programs have included students and community leaders from 21 indigenous nations.
Rios to Rivers envisions a world in which youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and tribal communities are equipped to become the next generation of passionate leaders for healthy rivers and communities.
Make monthly charitable giving a trend in your life in 2024 and help to support Rios to Rivers this March and April. Visit the link in our Instagram bio for more information.
It's wedding season.
That it is.
So many weddings.
So many weddings.
How many weddings do you have this fall, Mike?
Not as many weddings as I just made it sound. I have 2 weddings right now this fall, and they are very, very close friends.
I have 3 weddings this fall.
You do? And tell me, you are coming to 2 of our weddings. Of the weddings that I'm also going to.
2 of the weddings that you're going to,
I'm also going.
Yeah, same friends.
Yes.
Yep. Lots of wedding things happening.
What
is your favorite thing about weddings, Mike?
Dancing.
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah. All of the dancing.
All of the dancing.
Yes.
What is required for a successful dancing experience at a wedding?
I just feel like I'm amazed when I go to a wedding and there isn't success. I feel like it happens. Well, it's happened to me at least a few times.
When it comes to wedding DJing, it's really all about the playlist.
It is.
And you know what? You just need tunes that are exciting and fun. That, you know, obviously the couple has requested the kind of genres or whatever.
Right.
But there's so many times where I feel like, especially as of late, have been trying to prove themselves as I don't know what it is, if they're trying to prove themselves as legitimate DJs. You're there for a service.
Right.
Which is, you got to keep people excited.
Right.
You got to keep people moving.
Right.
And you got to keep people dancing. And there are some essential songs that do that.
Exactly. And I feel like it's all about placement of those songs throughout the evening.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about a wedding we were both at where, at the time, Uptown Funk was the most popular song.
Totally.
And when was it played at the wedding? Immediately.
I was we got to warm up into this one.
It was very strange.
It's okay, I Want to Dance with Somebody by Whitney Houston.
Mm-hmm.
I really, if that song doesn't play at a wedding, I don't consider that couple married. I really don't. Because, mm-hmm. That song is just so fun, iconic, and exciting.
Right.
I've heard it used to, we've been trying to get people on the dance floor and
people aren't.
And then now we're actually going to get some people on the dance floor.
Right.
Or, we've been dancing a long time and now we're just going to, rock out.
Oh yeah. Let's talk about the remix that they do of it, because honestly, the song is fine on its own. It stands the test of time, and I don't need any sort of remix on top of it.
No.
Sorry. Or with freaking bells and whistles. You
Can
know
I
the
tell
one
you
I'm talking about.
Something
right?
about that remix.
Yeah.
Okay. So when Whitney died,
mm-hmm.
everyone went and downloaded her music.
Right.
Because it was right before streaming music was really big. You
still had
to pay for music. And her album that included that song
mm-hmm.
was not available on iTunes.
Oh.
And the only way you could get that song, I Want to Dance with Somebody, was off of her greatest hits album.
Gotcha.
And the only recording of it they had was that remix.
Ugh, terrible.
So there was a period of time where people actually could not access the original recording.
Well, that is
And
a damn
I say
shame.
That from personal experience. I did finally get my real recording of that song.
And you finally admitted it to yourself.
I did, exactly. Right.
What else is problematic when it comes to wedding DJ stewardship?
I feel you need to take requests.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, if you're a wedding DJ out there and you disagree, please let us know. But I feel if I'm a wedding DJ, I want to keep the crowd excited and moving and dancing and you also have to plan for okay, and now we have this, the cutting of the cake. Or we have dessert is being served. And it's or however it is, then you have to manage all the different events that are happening. But the goal is to like keep joy very high.
Right, exactly.
And I feel like often people play music that like you can't actually dance to.
No.
Like I was at a wedding once and it was like, okay, so we were all dancing and everything was going good. And then suddenly it was like, we're going to play this Three Doors Down song.
Oh, buzzkill.
And I was like, okay, Three Doors Down is fine, but like not on a dance floor, girl. Like get your life.
Yeah, I do feel like, so I feel like another thing that's like a potential go awry part of a wedding DJ's stewardship is not knowing how to read the room.
Oh.
And like, I think that has happened to us more than a few times where it's like, no, honey, like people are excited. Why did you just pump the brakes and slow it down? Like,
oh, for real.
There's like no transition.
I also feel like there's no purpose for like a slowdown song at a wedding unless it's like framed for a specific reason. Like,
right.
This is the first dance
right.
that we're doing, like that the mother and father are doing.
And
like,
now join in.
And now join in. Right. Or like, this is, we're going to do this for so-and-so. We're honoring so-and-so who
right.
couldn't be here today
or
whatever.
Or here's our final song of the
or
evening.
Or here's our final song of the evening.
Right,
though
You don't like to end slow.
I do not like to end
slow.
Yeah,
neither do I.
No,
that
thank you.
That puts a lot of pressure.
No.
Yeah.
You need to end on a high note.
Right.
And if you are looking for a song, I recommend Last Dance by Donna Summer.
Mm-hmm.
Like make like the 70s discos
right,
and
exactly.
just play some Donna Summer.
Exactly. I also think that flow is a problem. I feel like that's like something that is not considered a lot of the times, and it will be like very choppy flow.
Yeah.
It'll be like, well, here's this one type of song. Oh, but here's another song that's totally different. Oh, there goes everybody on the dance floor. Good luck. And then, like, it's like a yo-yo back and forth.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I guess that's where, like, a DJ's expertise would come in with how to, like, smoothly transition from one
and
song
balance.
To the other and balance and
it's a tightrope walk,
things.
I think.
It is. I mean, it's a skill and it's a talent, but I feel like at a wedding, it's like you got to know your crowd.
Right. You got to know your crowd.
You got to just know the crowd.
I'm looking for adventure, wanna follow on the trail, or get a little lost and let the wind fill my sails. Get up when the stars still fill the sky, don't wake the sun, there's so much to be done, and the day has just begun. Go where the postcards are real, you can feel, you can open your eyes and open your heart when you gaze at the national parks.
Follow you there.
At the national parks.
Follow you there.
At the national parks.
Follow you, I'll follow you there.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. This is
Gaze at the
National
Parks.
I'm Dusty.
And I'm Mike. And this is episode 4 as we continue our journey through
Bryce Canyon. Or as we have renamed it,
Bryce Rock Amphitheater.
Because that is technically what it is.
Right.
This rock formation.
Right.
Right. Bryce Canyon is located in Utah.
Mm-hmm. Who knew?
Who knew?
Right.
Utah, who knew?
That's slogan for the state.
Right.
Right.
We think they should adopt that for their license plates.
Mm-hmm.
Utah, who knew?
Right.
I mean, it is one of the most spectacular visual places I've ever seen
yes.
in my life.
Me too. I agree.
Bryce Canyon is located right literally in the center of Utah somewhere.
Yeah, it's pretty centralized in the southern part of the state.
It's not too far from Zion National Park.
Nope, about 2 hours. And I think it's about another 2 hours across the state to Moab. Maybe it was like 3.
Moab is where Arches is.
Mm-hmm. And Canyonlands.
So we have a tradition every time we go to a national park.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that we buy...
We buy park badges.
Yes.
Which is something that, you know, I think we started, I guess that first time we went to Zion.
We went to Zion and
right.
we were both like, what is something that, like, is there a thing that we could get that
right,
is,
that's
like,
small and
small?
Also not, like,
it's like
going to take up a lot of space.
T-shirts are expensive
right.
and t-shirts are cute, but, like, eventually you're going to be like, okay, I'll save them to make a quilt. And then you'll never make that
quilt. Or they'll
quilt.
Just become rags.
Or they'll just become rags.
Right.
So we decided on these batches.
Yeah, these
or patches.
Yep.
Whatever you decide mm-hmm. to call them. And it has still been like a fun curiosity of like, what are we going to do with these patches?
Right, right.
I've posted this on our Instagram before.
Yes.
I have a frame and I keep all of them. I clip all of them inside
and I was
rope across
yeah,
that frame.
Yeah. And I haven't done anything with them yet because I really am trying to figure out what that will be like. My spare bedroom has a lot of like my travel stuff in it. Like, yeah. And so it'll probably go in there, but I haven't really gotten around to it just yet.
Yeah.
I want to make sure that
like
it's
sitting
right.
on a pile.
They are sitting in a pile.
mm-hmm. Just,
and
waiting to
just waiting to
have
be
creativity.
You have creativity thrust upon them.
Thrust upon them.
Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing is that sometimes a park will have, depending on the park, multiple patches that you could purchase. But also there are very many, I would say most of the parks we've gone to, right, would just have one. It's typically
a
like
lot
one
of them
stylized.
Only have one.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is just a matter of budget
right.
and things. I mean, I think I found like the parks with more visitors
right.
have more patches
right,
designed
right, right.
for them. And actually, I wrote about this on our Instagram, but patches, they came about because originally Yellowstone, which was the first national park,
mm-hmm.
they had Yellowstone badges.
Mm-hmm.
And like park rangers would wear that, so you knew they worked for Yellowstone.
Right.
And then as other parks were created, they also started adding more of those patches.
Right.
And then after a few national parks were instituted.
And NPS was formed.
Then NPS was formed. Mm-hmm. So the National Park Service was formed after national parks had already been created.
Mm-hmm.
And so then now we have like this whole thing and they went very uniform.
Right.
But they kept up with this tradition
right.
of giving
Which
each
is awesome.
Park its own commemorative
right.
badge.
Right. And you know, the badges or patches oftentimes are also recreated as like a pin.
Oh, yeah.
They may be on
magnets.
A t-shirt, magnets, you know, mugs. But we thought this was like the most creative and versatile like
yeah.
purchase because
I
it could be used
like,
in a lot of different ways, you know?
I feel like the National Park Service or just the national parks in general are doing really great at the merch.
Mm-hmm.
I
oh,
really
yeah.
enjoy the merch at
they do have
literally any national park.
I know.
When we talk about Angel's Landing, we'll talk about how I definitely
like geeked out.
Well,
like
no,
hard.
I definitely finished that hike so that I could like justify
geek out
buying a t-shirt.
And get a t-shirt.
And get a t-shirt, right.
Right, that's what I meant, geeking out.
So today, let's
continue our journey through Bryce Rock Amphitheater.
Let's do it.
Okay. We had gotten to a point where on the trail, when we were on the Peekaboo Trail, and there was a sign that directed us to Bryce Point. I think that kind of said you could continue on the Peekaboo Trail if you'd gone one way, and then you could kind of like hike up towards Bryce Point. Is that right?
Yeah, there was a sign, and you could see Bryce Point right from there.
Right.
Which was, I mean, it felt like a million miles in the air at that point.
Right.
It was definitely like standing there looking straight up going, oh, that's where we're going.
Right. And we really couldn't even see at that point like where the path was going to lead us. It was
no.
kind of like you started off and you were on like a very, you know, a pretty good clip of an ascent for
yeah.
a little while. And that kind of wound right.
It
we kind of
so
wound around
windy.
A little bit.
When we were on the hike up. I mean, that hike up was, I mean, it wasn't like clear as far as like that's our destination,
right?
And, right, because
but you couldn't
it was
really see
so
the path.
Windy,
right.
And like, and by windy, I mean like it's winding around like embankments the,
right.
of canyon, and
right.
like you're
rock
you're
amphitheater.
Just rock amphitheater, and you're just you know walking through, and you're just at the will of the trail,
right.
and you're like, okay, well, this is where we're going now. And sometimes it was very steep, a lot of times it was very flat for
right.
a little while.
There was a lot of snow.
A lot of snow.
That's where we, I think, encountered most of like the treachery when it came to snow.
And let me say, there was one section where it was like snow had like fallen down. It
right.
was like a snow
it was like
slide.
A, yeah, like a landslide.
Yeah. If you fell, like, I mean, the trail was literally just like jutting out from the wall at this point.
I think it was actually probably wider, but just because all that snow was there, there was a path that was cut by people.
Right.
So it was like,
so
you had a very narrow space of like compressed, compact snow to walk upon. Which,
right, exactly.
You know, depending, again, we were in the shadow a lot of the time, so that could have iced over. Like we said, it was cold when we were there, so.
And so when you and I were walking, it was like, we got to that section, and I remember, like, there was this family, and I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. Like, this is super treacherous.
Right.
Like, and it was, because if you slipped and fell, like, you're tumbling down the side of this wall.
Right.
Like, down into a forest with other snow.
Right, right.
And I watched this, I think he was, like, 8 or 9 year old kid.
He was young.
Who was just like, I'm just going to do it, and I'm fine. And after that, I was like, okay, well, I need to get my shit in
here. Put on your big boy pants and let's do this.
And do it. And so
exactly.
I did.
Mr. Fearless over here. One thing I did notice again is the color shift. That, I think, was, for me, visually as an artist, seeing the color change, especially going up Bryce Point, like that whole cliff face, that whole canyon wall or rocky amphitheater wall, there was so much color change that was happening.
So much color change.
So, you know, eventually, that wasn't the first and only snow embankment we came across, because the more we hiked up, there was another one. Like, we hiked a little more, correct me if I'm wrong, and then we went sort of through an archway.
Yeah,
right?
There were lots of archways that we like made our way
like
through,
like board holes you would through the wall.
Yeah, turn a corner, and it was like you have to go through this
archway, so we kinda,
or this tight hole.
Yeah, I think if we kind of got up, we got up to that one point, and then you went through that hole, and then you kind of banked back to the right, and then there was more snow for us to go over, and that was a bigger field of snow.
I remember
100 yards of snow to go over.
Yes. I remember when we were walking up, I was like, this feels like the journey to Zordon in Power Rangers.
Right.
I mean, like, that to me, at least, is...
Aye, aye, aye.
Oh, no, Rangers.
Exactly.
That is what it felt like to me.
It did. It was very reminiscent of that.
In that section.
Right. And, you know, so hiking up to the point, there were all these switchbacks, but they were not short switchbacks. It was like,
long,
hey, you're gonna hike this way, and then guess what? You're turning around and going back the other way and up. Mm-hmm. And so again, we cross this big bank of snow, and we turn, and that's when we're kind of starting to get a little closer to the top at
and
that
like,
point.
And there's sea Bryce Point
right,
at that point.
And that's when it actually is like, that's when the snow is like deep. And I remember
deep
like,
and
you're kind of like, it's a little woodier up there too, right?
Yeah.
And that's when it was like, okay, I guess you might like actually put your foot through some snow here. You're not going to necessarily walk on top of everything.
Yeah.
There really, at that point, if I'm remembering correctly, there wasn't really a clear path. It was kind of like, obviously there was a path underneath. Obviously people knew that.
Yeah.
But it was like the path you were following was people's footprints that had already traveled over the snow.
And then it levels out.
It levels out a little bit more, like it was foresty. Foresty and very like serene up top. Before getting to the like point itself, which was an incredible view, like you kind of hit this forest. There were a few benches like that were like hewn out of logs.
Yeah.
And it was just very, very peaceful up there. It was shady, but it wasn't like in the shadow of anything at that point. It was just the trees providing shade. There was like ivy and like ground cover all over the place. It was like, sorry, it sounds like I'm totally geeking out over nature here, and it's because I am.
And it's fine.
But it's like a landscaper's like wet dream.
Well,
like,
that's
up there,
because right? You know, your favorite store is Christmas tree shops.
Yeah. Okay. anyway. So yeah, we hike, you know, we continue our journey up, and eventually we hit the point.
Yeah, we do get to Bryce Point, which, so Bryce Point, it's like this,
it's kind of almost like, I feel like...
It's a lookout point.
It's a lookout point. It kind of actually does come to a point at the end of it.
It does.
It narrows as you walk out on it, but it is like... I feel like, were there observation, like, you know, like the little things that sometimes are at the boardwalk? Did they have those?
They had those, and they also had, I'm pretty sure I remember some placards telling you about, like, what you were looking at.
Right.
What was special about Bryce Point was that it was built to go out into the open space from really high. So, like, you're walking out into the center of open space.
Right. And we're much higher than where we started. Sunrise and Sunset Point are a little bit below 8,000 feet. Bryce Point's about 8,300 feet.
Yeah.
And then the canyon level is, what was it?
7,400 feet.
Okay, so we had kind of come, you know, we'd come up a decent, like about 700 feet from the bottom of the canyon. But I mean, you're also, again, like I said, we're raised about 400 feet in the air, higher than where we started. So the view is like, I mean, we thought originally, I think, that that view at Sunrise Sunset Point was incredible. And not that it wasn't, but
it was incredible. But this Bryce Point view was one of the greatest views I've ever seen in my life.
It just was so expansive. I mean, and that's too, like, this is where you see like atmospheric perspective sort of, and things fading into space. And it was just like, it was so incredible to see just the vastness of everything there.
Absolutely.
Like, and again, you're kind of at this point, it is an overlook. So you really are getting like an incredible panorama here.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I did walk out all the way to the edge of the point and stand there at the railing for a moment. But it was like my fear of heights was setting in really hard.
I mean, the nice thing is that there were railings all the way.
Oh, yeah,
around.
There are railings. Yeah. It's super safe.
Right.
But I just was like,
feeling. No, not for me. Thank you.
Very much like, I'm going to sit here at the center of this space and feel very good about it.
Right. Meanwhile, I'm like, I'm hanging off the edge.
Yes. I'm taking photos. I'm leaning over the ledge and taking photos. I'm
literally not doing that.
No, you would. You don't do that. No,
that's like the work of crazy people.
Yeah. Don't do that.
Don't do that ever.
I think I remember us being fairly tired at that point.
Right. And so,
because we had made it all the way up, and because it wasn't like a Yosemite Falls tired, where like you are going straight up and like feeling pain. It was like there's so much beauty surrounding you, and all of the incline was
gradual,
subtle, and gradual.
Yeah.
But then eventually, like it caught up to you,
I think. Yeah, I think so. And so at that point, it's kind of funny because, you know, you think this is like such a reward getting up to the top here. And then it's like, oh, there's a parking lot.
There is a parking lot here.
And there's like a tram that runs, because there were some other points.
Because there was, I remember we sat there and we were like, huh, we could get on the tram and go back to the car. But it's only noon.
Yeah.
And we only have one day here.
Right.
So we're going to soldier on. But the only way to do that
was to eat all the trail mix.
Eat all of the trail mix. Yes. Eat all the trail mix and the snacks, which we did for like 20 minutes.
Right. And just like kind of took it all in.
And then the only way to continue was to go back,
down
that exact same trail that we took up.
Hey, everybody. We are actively planning our hiking for this year. And so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about. We're marking them up and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon travel guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon travel guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon travel guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners.
It's time for Pentagram, and since we went with your choice last time, we're going to go with my choice this time,
great.
Which is Miss Amy Adams.
Oh, okay, wonderful.
So what five items are we going to put into a pentagram to summon Amy Adams?
I mean, that's a really good question.
My first instinct is an Oscar nominee Envelope because she's been nominated 5 times and has never won.
I feel like...
which is a tragedy.
Right, it is. And I feel like I'm going to say this and correct me if I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we should put John Hamm in the pentagram because wasn't John Hamm her teacher in high school?
No, that was Ellie Kemper.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, there, you corrected me if I was wrong. And so there it is.
So I retract my one item from the pentagram.
I knew that it was a redhead and I just couldn't remember which one. So watch my voice get defensive here because it will.
Get defensive because we need to not mistake Amy Adams with anyone else.
Right. I feel like I'm going to put in. So let me have my item.
Have your item.
Calm down.
Back to you.
I feel like I want to put in the script from Drop Dead Gorgeous because it's her first film.
Yeah, I was going to say like a tiara or something.
Right. Reference
and that
God,
movie.
Drop Dead Gorgeous.
Oh
what
my
a,
God.
What a beautiful gem.
What a beautiful gem of
given
a movie.
To the world.
Thank you for that gift.
Mm-hmm.
Like the people who made that film, we just thank you.
Yes.
I also want to put in one of this like round language symbols from Arrival that...
Not Jeremy Renner?
No. that was used so often.
Right.
I think that was pretty iconic of her career.
Right. I feel like I'm going to put in some teeth from...
I was going to say...
from Sharp Objects.
Are we going to put in a sharp object?
Right.
Great. So the teeth are the sharp object.
Teeth of sharp objects.
Those who finish
sharp
objects...
Sorry, spoiler alert, everybody.
Is it, though?
No. Guess find where those teeth come
find
in.
Find where those
baby
teeth
girls.
Come in. Yeah, you'll feel. You'll see it. And then, what is our final item? I think I would like to put in, I'm going to put in a Giselle doll from Enchanted.
Okay, great.
Like
a movie I have not seen, but I hear
wonderful. Are you kidding?
Things. I know.
It's wonderful.
I know.
Okay, we have to add that to your list of things you have to see.
Lots of movies.
That could
be a whole conversation for this.
Yeah, another day, another time.
And for you too.
I have fewer on that list than you do.
Yeah.
But yes, so there we go. And hopefully we have summoned Amy Adams.
Right.
Okay, so we're hiking back down from Bryce Point, and we're back on the Peekaboo Trail, and we're headed back down now. We essentially end up in like the same spot we were in when we saw it, but instead of like veering off to the left, we veer off to the right because I'm pretty sure it was a little bit of a loop.
Whatever that direction was back
whatever
then.
Whatever that direction
right.
was.
Right. Yeah. But we do, you know, we come back down. Again, there were a lot of people at the top of Bryce Point, but a lot of people seem to have driven up there because even when we were hiking up, it was maybe like a handful that we saw.
Oh, yeah, there weren't a ton of people.
And even going down, maybe like 5 people we saw kind of heading up that trail.
And I just want to reiterate, like, it is like full alien world at every turn.
Exactly.
At every, like, corner of this place. I mean, it is spectacularly strange.
Right.
Is how I would describe Bryce Canyon. So we're making our way back down and we get to that part and we veer off. Then it flattens out for a little while.
Yeah, I mean, again, it still feels very labyrinthine. It's like a giant maze, like a very fun maze. I mean, that's the great thing about the national parks. When we talk about Arches, one of my personal favorite hikes is at Arches, but this also was a lot of fun. It felt like an adventure.
This totally felt like an adventure. Like, I felt completely submerged in another world being in Bryce Canyon, whereas other parks feel like there's like a spectacular thing that you journey up to, but like... Bryce actually felt like a submersion into another strange planet.
I mean, we've talked about like payoffs for hikes in the past, and not that Bryce Point wasn't a payoff because, Lord, it was. It was beautiful up
there. Absolutely.
But I really do feel like the journey was more of the exciting thing here.
Exactly.
Like it was fully immersive. Right.
It was to see all of this.
Right.
I mean, I have never seen anything like this in my life.
Right.
And not that I've seen a ton,
right.
but it is the
in your 22 years on this planet.
In my 22 years on this planet.
Uh-huh.
Which is not true. I'm not 22.
No. 82.
82.
And he hikes. It's amazing.
I know.
Yep.
I know. And I have really great moisturizer.
It's true. Keeps them
so
young.
There is a really famous landmark in Bryce Canyon or Bryce Amphitheater called...
The Windows.
The Windows, which are... hoodoos that are connected at the top, so it looks like they have holes through the middle of them.
Right.
And they look like windows.
Right.
And that was when we finally passed those.
Right. So we hiked a little bit past our point at the crossroads of where we would have gone up to Bryce Point and where the Peekaboo Trail intersected with that. And again, meandered around a little bit and came to those windows, which it was really incredible to see. It's like it literally is like a wall. And again, it's got that drip castle feel to mm-hmm. it. But then there are spaces in that wall. And again, the color was different there. It was like a very dusty sort of yellow.
And now,
cornflowery.
And now let's also acknowledge that like the lighting is different because now we're at like midday.
Right.
So the light that we're seeing everything and the color we're receiving at the beginning of the hike is different now than it is, than it was then at the beginning because of the angle of lighting.
Right, exactly. That's true. We've passed our early magic hour, and now we are in midday light.
We did.
Right.
There are so many photos I have taken of something at like dawn light, and then it taken the same thing again at like midday light, and it's just like the light at dawn is so much better.
Are we talking just about generally in life, Bryce Canyon?
Well, I'm in Bryce Canyon, but also like in other national parks we have traveled. It's just like I end up, you know, the photo from that angled light in the morning is just highlights the natural features.
Exactly.
It's a photographer's friend that hike early and hike often.
That's right.
Yeah. And that day I was a photographer.
So. Right. So, I mean, we continue on past the windows and again, it's windy path. We're going through some like kind of, I hesitate to call them slot canyons, but they are very narrow passageways through things. And you're getting, again, we're still kind of at a higher vantage than when we were really low on the Peekaboo Trail. And so I feel like we were seeing a lot more of the canyon too, just from different angles, which
is cool. Just from different angles. And I felt like more so than any other place, Bryce Canyon was giving us like, here we are on this other part of the same trail, but we're still seeing something new at every single turn.
Right.
And like we turn here and it's like, now we're going up and then now we're going down and now we're surrounded by hoodoos. Now we're surrounded by forests.
Right.
Now we're looking at hoodoos from this other side.
And there's some snow. And, you know, here we are like going up a switchback and kind of back up into a canyon and then down into a canyon. Like it was like up and down all over the place.
It was such a fun maze to navigate.
Yes, it totally was. And eventually what happens is we meet back up with the kind of like the Peekaboo Trail close to the Navajo Trail where we originally came down.
Yeah. And we decided, because we were like feeling fearless and like superheroes at that moment,
right,
because we had been hiking flat stuff for the most part of that latter part of the Peekaboo Trail.
Right.
We were like, you know what, let's just end by going through the Queen's Garden section of this, which is another trail. The Queen's Garden, like, will take you up to the rim. And so we were like, we'll see another part and then we'll leave.
Right.
But, and the Queen's Garden Trail, is it considered strenuous or moderate?
I can't remember. I feel like...
Hold on. I'm going to find that out right now.
Okay, great.
Okay, I just found our information that we need. And the Queen's Garden Trail is considered easy.
Great.
Which I find laughable because it was anything but easy on that day at that point.
I think we were just tired, though, too.
I mean, we were so tired.
I think we hit our walls, like, right in between the Navajo and the Queen's Trail when we were still on Peekaboo.
You did, and I had been corroding the whole time.
Right. And I think it was like, all right, this has been spectacular. It's so amazing. But my feet are tired.
They were.
And I am exhausted.
So this is what I remember about, like, going up the Queen's Garden Trail, is I was like, okay, we're back here. We're like, I know like we're not too like far from the rim. We don't have much elevation gain.
No.
To get back up. But so we're making our way around. And for the most part, it was just gradual uphill.
Right.
But even at that point, gradual uphill felt...
Oh God, I do remember us feeling like
we
wanted to die.
Wanted to die.
I like, do remember there
we
being like
so
a very
tired.
Long
now
sort of
we're
straight
in, like,
shot.
We have hiked 15 miles
right.
today. And so we get to the we get to that part of the Queen's Garden Trail and it's like you can
see
like,
the rim.
You can vaguely see the rim
right.
and you're like, it's just up there. But it was I mean, I remember we got to this one point where it was like, okay, now we have to go back up 5 switchbacks.
Right.
And I looked at them and I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this today.
Right.
I was so tired. Right. My legs were so exhausted.
And there were...
And then I think I like bent forward and just like blazed up 5 right. switchbacks.
I think
and then
we did like have weird angles to our bodies as we were hiking that last part.
Yeah. I definitely did feel like one of those like super marathon runners, like at the end of like running some like extremely long, like...
Right.
Like 50 to 100 mile stint, and like your body just wants to collapse. Like, right. that's what I felt then and that day. And then I remember we got up those 4 switchbacks, and we still were not to the rim.
No,
no, there was more to do.
Long,
and there
straight
were more
shot
switchbacks that was to like go up.
It was very like gradual, but still, again, everything hurt at that point.
Everything hurt.
Right.
We finally get back up to the rim, and then we had to... There was... I remember some confusion over, like, wait, where did we come in?
Right, where did we park?
We can't remember, like, do we need to turn right here? Do we need to turn left at the rim?
And there were a lot of paths that kind of led up to it, so it was kind of like, oh, well, shoot, where... There wasn't anything really recognizable about the path we came up.
Right.
So it was like, well...
We need to get back to the general store.
Let's find the general store. Right.
And I think we finally did. And then we get back to the car. And I just remember like throwing my hiking boots off. Right. I was like, get these off of my feet. And
right.
Forgive me. Like, I just rode in the car without shoes.
Well, I think, I mean, we did a few things before that. We did like go into the general store. So I think we did like get out of, that's also high pro tip. Bring along sneakers too, because once you're done hiking,
all
you want to do is take off those hiking boots and put on sneakers. Or if you're not the one that's driving the car, just take your shoes off in general and be in your socks, because there is nothing more comfortable in the world at that point in your life.
Oh my God, yeah.
And you know what? Being in socks.
And you have to, at this point, with like, if you're traveling with someone else, you just have to be like, go like, yeah, feet smell. And everybody's feet are going to smell at the end of the
day. I mean, there are worse things that smell in a car. So
I mean, if you want to like bring some sort of aerosol, something to try and take care of that, but you know what? It is going to be what it is.
Right.
So just embrace it.
Embrace it all. So yeah, I mean, we get up to the general store. We, I think, change out of our shoes and everything. It's a lot more busy at this point because it's probably close to 3 at this point in the afternoon.
Easily.
And we'd been hiking since 7. So it was a pretty long day. It was an 8-hour day of hiking, kind of straight through with like minimal stops.
And only trail mix.
And I think we called, you know, respective parents and just said hello and kind of like checked in and did our little shopping in the general store.
We did.
What happened? There was something funny that happened at the register of the general store, and I can't remember what it was. Am I misremembering that? I feel like there was like something really funny with those kids that were like behind us in line. There
was
like
a
family. I can't remember.
This is such great content.
I know, right? Wow. They had like a really funny conversation, and I feel like it was about gay people. And like, but
really?
Maybe I'm just making that up.
No. This is sounding familiar. It is.
But like, it wasn't anything bad. It was just like,
oh, no, it wasn't.
Listening to them was utter hilarity. And I think it also could have been like, I was punch drunk at this point in the day. So
I remember
everything was funny.
Hold up. No, I remember this because I was walking to the back to get a Diet Coke because that is my life. And then I was heading back and you were like, you gave me this look like you need to listen to what is happening here.
Right. I know. Sorry. This is like, you know, just us being like, you know,
the worst
senile
right
in our memories.
We cannot remember this conversation.
But anyway, there was some like little bit of hilarity that happened in the general store. If it was funnier, obviously we would have like dog-eared it and it would have been.
I guess so. We would have remembered it, whatever.
Anyway.
But you know what? We can't remember everything.
We can't remember everything.
But
so
we do remember the feeling Bryce Canyon gave us.
And it was a beautiful feeling.
And with that, let's take another break. Hey everybody, we are actively planning our hiking for this year, and so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about, we're marking them up, and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them, and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon Travel Guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon Travel Guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon Travel Guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners.
Drag queens, drag queens, drag queens.
Yes, your favorite thing in the world.
That's right. Yeah. Actually, it used to be my most fearful thing in the world. I think what I really enjoy about it, though, is the puns of the names.
Like, oh, that is so just satisfying.
Like, I mean, and drag queens are less of like an anxiety giver to me now. Yes. I don't know why. That's like a purely psychosomatic, like should
totally.
Probably like sit down with a therapist and talk about why drag queens gave me anxiety. But
I think perhaps if I might dive in.
Oh, go dive in.
I think they are a very sort of proud, confident, beautiful representation of perhaps something inside of you that you acknowledged and perhaps feared at a time when you were much younger.
Okay.
And then they were like loudly representing that thing that you didn't want to acknowledge in yourself.
Right.
Psychoanalysts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was my love of color that you're talking about.
It was your love of color.
My love of color.
You know, I think it would be nice to quickly share, like, what our personal chosen drag names are.
Oh, okay. Sure. Great.
Yeah. So what is your drag name, Mike?
My name is Miss Tara Card, and that is because I am a reader of Oracle and Tarot cards.
And angel cards.
I also have another drag name that seriously got dragged by a lot of people.
But I love it.
It's an art history reference. So it's Renaissance Bust.
Yeah.
So Renaissance Bust.
Yeah.
For those of you
but
out there listening.
She would be a queen that
Without
breasts.
Right. Renaissance Bust.
Exactly.
Right.
And I am obsessed with American history. Like, you should see me going to museums in Philadelphia and just crying.
I've been there.
You've been there. Right. So I wanted mine to be an American history reference. So mine is Amanda Finesse Destiny.
Ah, it's so good.
Yeah, I really like it. Mm-hmm. She's like a giant ball gown queen that loves America.
Right. Like a la Liberty Bell on Glow, but a little bit more like Southern and proper.
Well, I think she's Amanda is like Amanda, which is also a drag name by itself.
Right.
Just the word Amanda. Right. I think Amanda is also sort of my reference to just like that drop dead gorgeous pageant where every year was an Americana themed
by America.
Right. Mm-hmm. So what queen are we talking about today?
We're actually going to talk about two queens today.
Two other queens that are not ourselves.
Two other queens that are not ourselves. Because we were at Sunrise and Sunset Point in Bryce Canyon. The queens we're talking about today are Tilda Morning and Tilda Evening.
You know, I love the name Tilda.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, thank you, Tilda Swinton, for like giving us the great person to like associate that with. Not that there aren't lovely other people named Tilda out there, sure. But Tilda Morning and Tilda Evening, I feel like my initial instinct with these two drag queens are that they are like twins.
Oh, they're a double act.
Oh, they're they're like a Roxy, like Velma situation, like one in a black like sequin dress and one in a white sequin dress.
My sister and I had an act that couldn't flop.
See,
second time, two episodes, Chicago,
two episodes.
It's just coming in.
But I feel like Tilda Morning is butterflies and sunshine and flowers.
Okay. I feel like Tilda Evening is like vamp. Like she's like a total vamp.
Like I vamp. Think she is like dark and like the I mean, I think it's let's lean into what the names are giving us.
Oh, yeah.
Is what I'm saying.
Oh, like, definitely.
So, no, I do feel like, or is it just one drag queen? And like, if she has gigs in like at brunch, she's Tilda Morning. And if she has gigs in the evening, she's Tilda
like
Evening.
I like that a lot.
Ooh,
oh, it's
that's
like a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde
exactly.
sort of situation here.
Boom. Or like, Good Place Janet, Bad Place
oh,
Janet.
Oh, yeah.
That's a Good Place reference
that
for
is a good
anybody
who
watches that show.
And if you haven't, you should.
It's wonderful. But
plugging
yeah,
things.
That,
right.
that, oh, I really dig that.
Yeah, okay, I like that too.
What is her sort of go-to song as Tilda Morning to lip sync?
Oh,
I think it's My Baby Takes the Morning Train.
Okay, I also think Good Morning Starshine, The Earth Says Hello.
Oh, interesting.
You Twinkle Up Above, We Twinkle mm-hmm. Below. I think
very
that would be
cool.
like very like wholesome kind of
very
like
wholesome. She's right. I think Tilda Morning is a very sort of like sweet sort of like hippie
right
like kindergarten teacher
yes,
type of drag
Miss
queen.
Lippy from
yes exactly
Billy Madison
and
exactly.
then Tilda Evening.
Oh, Tilda Evening is like Tilda Evening.
I think
rocks
she's
her
oh
her
yeah.
world.
I think one of her
she rides
iconic
hard.
Songs is like Cher's cover of Gimme, Gimme, Gimme a Man After Midnight.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I just wanted like a night reference in
right.
the song.
Right, I think
that
that's
was...
good. I feel like she could also be a candidate for like some, not that she would lip sync to this, but I feel like A Little Bat Out of Hell by Meatloaf would be like in her
ooh,
like
very
intro sort of music.
Definitely, mm-hmm. yeah.
Some, I think, some dark
and
forces.
She would probably like enter... on a motorcycle right. in the way that like Meatloaf
oh,
entered
right.
on a motorcycle in Rocky Horror.
Oh, right.
She is a night creature. So
oh,
I do
is.
Feel like all of her song references and all like all of her wardrobe choices are very inspired by like night creature.
Right. I feel very like an Elvira vibe from her.
Totally.
Like, that's what I'm getting from her. And a Morticia, Elvira, Cher, If I Could Turn Back Time, all mashed into one.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I
so,
love it. And she and it is like the same girl.
Right. And I love that. That's perfect. So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage Miss
Tilda
Morning
and
Miss
Tilda Evening. Okay. So, we finally head out of Bryce Canyon.
Right. Which I think if we had planned better, had more time, were keen on camping, probably would have stayed the night there or close to there.
Yeah.
Only because where we stayed was like about an hour away,
it was
right?
Like 45 minutes out. Yeah.
So it would have been great to kind of go back and really
see
the
stars
and really enjoy it. And
it
that's
would
like
have been.
That's a, like a little bit of a regrettable thing. I think we were just so tired that we were
yeah.
kind of like, just feed me and mm-hmm. put me to bed.
Exactly.
Right.
So we drive out and we continue down. Like we have to drive. Like 10 miles back to a major road.
Right.
And by major road, it's a 2-lane highway. And then
we pass through
come
all those like little main
left,
street towns.
And so we
yeah.
had to go right this time. So
right.
we go right and then we end up in like what is essentially the closest town.
Right.
And we find a restaurant that also is a gas station.
Right.
And
that sounds like it's bad, but it's not.
But
it was
it's
actually
not. It
a
was
great
just
restaurant.
A functional,
it was, yeah, a functional little yeah. restaurant that had like a deli attached to it too.
Yeah, there was like, I mean, it was like this one place that was like a sit-down restaurant. It was a to-go deli kind of place, and also
Fajira to go.
Fajira to go, with another great drag queen, right. And then also a gas station. So we parked and we like sat down and we ate. We were like. Bring us all of the food on the menu.
Right, right,
this time.
Right. All the eggs and bacon you have.
All of the eggs and bacon.
Right.
Yeah. And that is when you
freaked
you,
out.
Like, queened out on right. me for a moment. And you were like, send me all of your pictures that you were taking. I want to see them.
And right.
Particularly, you were specifically asking about pictures of yourself that I had taken.
Right. Talk about vain here, folks.
Talk about vanity.
Right.
Vanity plates. Another great drag
vanity
queen.
Vanity plates.
The, But yeah, no, I had taken a whole bunch of, I was exploring portrait with portrait mode photos. Because as I said, I was the photographer.
Right. And they were beautiful. And you know what? Sometimes you need photos for dating profiles.
You need photos for whatever you want.
Sometimes you need photos for other things.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And you're a beautiful dude who deserves your beautiful photos.
Well, I'll just blush over here, even though you can't see it.
There you go.
There you go.
So I single all like right. 25 of them.
Send me all of those photos. Where are they?
Literally, that right. was you. Yeah.
Exactly.
And I was like, girl, you get to calm down this time. I was like,
I was having like
we
a
are
tantrum.
Sitting here in a restaurant. We are the right. only people in this restaurant.
Because it was also a weird time. So I think we were kind of like, oh, damn, will they serve us? Because it was like kind of between
because
lunch and
gay.
Dinner. Yeah, because we're gay. Yes. No,
no
there was
I'm
no
kidding.
Homophobia on
no,
our
not at
travels.
All. No.
Except for maybe what those kids were saying in the general store, but I can't remember.
But no, I don't think it was. I don't
no,
recall that.
I don't
anyway,
remember. Anyway.
So we eat at this place. It was lovely, wonderful, great restaurant.
Right.
And then we had to like head over and check into our hotel.
Right. Which we, on the way, kind of passed Capitol Reef, which is another
national park
in Utah. And it's the only one in Utah we didn't do because we didn't really plan, like there were other fish to fry on this trip and yeah. we were really like struggled with what do we cut out? And that was a really tricky thing. So, you know, we kind of continue to drive and we end up at our hotel. So typically what we do, and we've mentioned this before, is we Airbnb because it's inexpensive. It works out usually beautifully and it's lovely. And we've had some really lovely Airbnb experiences.
And there just weren't many Airbnb options
around here.
So we had to stay in this hotel. And it was clearly like it was the only place to stay for
right,
anybody.
Right. And literally Grand Staircase, which is a national monument, which just got decreased in size for reasons that
we won't get into right now. Yes, that,
that was literally down the road from the hotel.
Yeah.
So
we're staying at this place and I was like, so we pull up, we park, we get out and we're like, well, let's go into the lobby, but it's not a lobby.
It's a convenience store.
It's a convenience store.
I don't know what I just said, but it wasn't convenience store.
You said a convenience store.
Right.
So it was a convenience store and I was like, hi, is this where we check in?
Right.
For
the hotel,
room.
Right.
And they were like, yeah, it yeah. is. And it was this like high school kid.
Right.
And then I remember like asked a lot of questions. He was like, so are the two of you hiking or the two of you traveling together? We were like, yep.
Yep.
Yep. And he was like, and it's one room. And I'm like, yep, it is one. We're right. sharing a room. You know. He was like,
confused but curious.
Confused but curious is
right.
a great way to describe
right.
that. And then we go up to the room and we just collapse.
Well, let's talk about the room a little bit.
Okay.
So, you know, in planning this, our first trip, and again, we're kind of bumping all over the place when we do our podcasts as far as talking about,
yeah.
you know, what parks we're at and what trip we're on. But in planning this on our first trip, we were like, all right, we have some Airbnb set up. Let's get a hotel. And Dusty, in his infinite wisdom, was like, I'm going to get a hotel that has a jacuzzi in it because we're going to be sore after 3 days of hiking.
Exactly.
And what a beautiful idea it was. So we walk into the room, and the room is the most awkward like setup that I've ever seen.
Yeah, because so typically like in a hotel room, right? You walk in, the bathroom is on the right or left.
Right.
And but which was true. There right. was a bathroom on the right.
right
or left and it had
on the right
a toilet and
a shower.
A shower. And then you walk into the bedroom.
But no sink.
Area, but
there was
no
sink in there.
On the outside of the room was the sink
and the hot tub.
Literally next to the bed.
Like five steps from the bed.
Was the hot tub.
Right.
Which was, like, could really only fit one of us. Because we were, like, we're both
we're
like,
tall
over
people.
6 feet people.
Right.
And so, like...
Over 6 feet people. I'm going to describe myself as that from now on.
I'm an over 6 feet person.
Exactly.
But we were, like, we're going to make this work. So we just, like...
Right.
bundled ourselves into this.
I think we did some alternating too. Like, so I think one of us sat in the tub fully while somebody, like, I remember sitting on the ledge and soaking my calves.
Yes.
And then, like, you got
soaking
out.
Soaking my calves.
Soaking my calves. And then you got out and, you know, we switched spots there.
Yes. But we were watching something on YouTube on a phone while we were doing this. I do remember
We were watching Big Little Lies this entire
We were watching Big Little Lies.
An episode or two into Big Little Lies.
That's right. So that's what we were watching while we were on, while we were in the hot tub.
Right, right, right.
In the jacuzzi room.
In the jacuzzi room. And so, yeah, I mean, it was kind of crazy because at this point, I think we'd got there. It's like 7 o'clock. We're in the jacuzzi and then we're like, we're in bed. Like we were in bed at like asleep by like 8 o'clock, which wasn't the worst thing in the world because we were driving across the state
to get to
Moab the next day. So we really did want an early sort of start.
Yes. Quickly, what did Bryce Canyon teach you?
I think Bryce Canyon taught me that there is so much to be discovered in something that may seem to be one thing, but is a totally different sort of thing. And like, I feel like that's very vague, but what I mean by that is like, we'd seen a canyon before, we knew what a canyon was. We'd been to one other national park. I'd been to three at that point. And, you know, I think it taught me really to like not have any expectations because they just get blown out of the water, like consistently, like blown out of the water. Sorry, that was very roundabout, but that's you kind of know what I mean there.
I do.
Yeah.
I think for me, Bryce Canyon taught me that there's so much we have not seen. I had never heard of that place. I didn't know it was there. I had no experience at all.
Right.
I'd heard of Zion. I had heard of Grand Canyon. I'd heard of Arches. But it was just like in the middle of nowhere, there was this like incredible piece of beauty that I think like it's a thing to remember just like everywhere in sort of any realm of this experience we're living here on this earth that no matter where you are, things, people can surprise you.
Right.
It is time to end this episode with some Jeopardy.
It is.
And
so, Dusty, throw me your category all first right. this time.
Because we are dealing with Bryce Canyon, mm-hmm. I decided to let another famous Bryce inspire this category.
Is it Bryce Dallas Howard?
It is Bryce Dallas Howard.
Okay, great.
So in this category, you will need to... There are two sections of the clue. I have included a quote from a film.
Okay.
And then if you can't get it, I also have another way to describe what's happening.
So
you have to do is name the film.
Great.
Okay, here we go.
Go.
There was a sibling in case this one did not survive infancy, but she ate it. Informs Claire Deering, the workaholic and uptight manager of this theme park for which the film is named.
Oh my God, I have no idea.
We're looking for Jurassic World.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, great. Moving on. I heard my parents speaking of you. You wish to go to the towns. I think it is noble, but I do not think it is right.
What is the village?
That is right.
Okay, great.
Okay,
sorry.
Great.
You know who I was thinking about is Blythe Danner.
You were not Blythe Danner.
I was like, I know who Bryce Dallas Howard is. And I like had a moment of like Blythe Dannerdom. And I was like, what the hell is this movie? And I was like, I don't know a lot about Blythe Danner, but Bryce Dallas Howard, has been jogged. Hi.
Okay, great. Let's keep going.
Okay, wonderful.
Okay, forget it. I can just bring him back to the shelter in the morning. He'll be put back in a tiny cage with 10 other dogs who will bully him until he's eventually euthanized. Boasts Rachel when she tries to get Adam a therapy dog he doesn't want before being caught cheating on him all the while he's being treated with cancer.
What is 50-50?
That is correct.
Okay.
Yes. I specifically said drop old coats at my house, not commodes. screams Howard's villainous Hilly Holbrook while standing in the middle of her toilet-filled yard in this Jackson, Mississippi set film.
What is the help?
That is correct.
Right.
And finally, I'm going to have to get into character to do this.
Okay, wonderful.
So hopefully you recognize this. The little girl who, when we were just 5 years old in art camp, you're going to let me finish, started talking to me because she saw I was scared and helped me make Mr. Rags. He reminds me of you and what you meant to me then, and I'm so honored to be here to see this shit. I love you, Nene.
It's a Black Mirror episode.
It is.
And the name of it is... Shoot. I can't remember the name of it. It has like a very specific...
We were looking for a nosedive.
Nosedive. Great. It's a wonderful episode of Black Mirror.
Oh my God.
Girl, it's so good. All right. Well, that was great. I love that.
I'm so glad.
All right. My category is state alphabet soup.
I'm ready.
So the way this category works is I'm going to give you a clue.
Mm-hmm.
And that clue is going to be made up of two state abbreviations that spell a word. You have to give me the states and the word that it spells.
Oh, this is great.
Oh, I had so much fun writing this.
I am so ready for that.
Ready? Mm-hmm. The abbreviation of this West Coast state that bears the name of our first president and the abbreviation of this state, commonly known as the Land of Lincoln, combined to create the noise Mary Todd may have made when walking in on her husband and another man.
I'm stuck on the second one, the Land of Lincoln. I know the first one is Washington, which is W-A.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second one, I thought Lincoln, Nebraska. Is that, that's wrong. What is it?
What is whale?
Whale. Mm-hmm. Whale. Oh, like I-L, whale. Like Illinois.
Yeah,
Lincoln.
Like Illinois.
Whale.
Yeah.
Ooh, mm-hmm. That was great.
All right. And they are in order, so you don't have to like scramble here.
Okay, great. Thank you. I appreciate that.
So the abbreviation of this Keystone state with the abbreviation of this Bruce Springsteen album state combine to create the descriptor for the small individual pieces that are a part of the transparent ceiling you're breaking through.
The Keystone State is Ohio? No, which one?
Pennsylvania.
Okay, so PA and then...
The small individual pieces that are making up the glass ceiling you're shattering.
I don't know.
It's Payne, P-A-N-E. The Bruce Springsteen album state is Nebraska.
Nebraska. See, mm-hmm. I didn't know that. Okay, great.
All right. Okay, they're only getting harder.
Payne. Like the abbreviation. Okay, great. This is great. I love this.
The abbreviation of this penis-shaped state combined with the abbreviation of two states that together would make a word for a type of sexual stimulation create the descriptor for the type of arrangements you'll get when you're cold and dead.
Okay, so it's floral.
That's correct.
Is the word.
Can
so
you give
we've
me
got
the states?
Florida, uh-huh. Oregon, and Alabama.
That's correct.
Yes.
There you go.
Oh my God, that was so satisfying.
All right. I know this is like before, during, and after.
So good.
And I like did a lot of research on this. I'm jamming
You're
on this.
Very
I'm
good
jamming
at this.
On this. All right. The abbreviation of this first state combined with the abbreviation of this first state to legalize gay marriage combined with this western state, the twin of which holds mountains of presidents, combined to create a word for what a dominatrix may give when she says, lick my boots.
Okay, so the first state is Delaware.
Right.
Which is D-E.
Mm-hmm.
Then the second thing was about the first state to pass gay marriage, which was Massachusetts, which is M. A.
Right.
And then finally, the last one is, okay, so Mount Rushmore is in South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the partner of South Dakota?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's North Dakota, which is N-D, so that spells demand.
Exactly. Demands.
Okay.
Wonderful. And this last one's...
That was...
Four.
Oh my God.
So strap in.
Here we go. I'm ready.
So listen to all the clues.
I'm ready.
The abbreviation for this Southern Peach State combined with the abbreviation for this Billy Joel State of Mind State combined with the abbreviation for this Northeast Lobster State, combined with the abbreviation for this Rehoboth Beach State, create the largest of Jupiter's moon and a divine Trojan hero.
Okay, I believe it's spelled G-A-N-Y-M-E-D-E.
That's correct.
Ganymede?
That's correct.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Oh, my God. That was so
good. That was
good.
A tough one.
That was the tough one, but mm-hmm. that was good. Well yeah. done.
That's
I'm
right.
I'm impressed
State
by you, sir.
State alphabet soup.
State alphabet soup. That mm-hmm. is good.
Lots of fun.
Oh, I like that. Well, we hope you like that, too. And please subscribe to our podcast.
For more Jeopardy. And other things.
And other things and more adventures.
And more drag queens.
So many more drag queens. Hike early and hike often.
Right. And adventure is out there.
It's
so
out there waiting
go
for
Go out
you.
There and get it.
Get it, girl.
Get it, girl. This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast edition.
Follow us on Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks.
Or on Twitter at Gaze at the Parks.
And that's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
That's right. This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast edition.
Gaze at the National Parks. Start that again.